Welcome to the Geological Society podcast. My name's Sarah Day and I'm at the Natural History Museum for Volcanism Impacts and Mass Extinctions with several of the scientists involved in the meeting. Perhaps I can just go around and get you all to introduce yourselves.
I'm Gerda Keller, Princeton University.
Andrew Kerr from Cardiff University.
Thierry Haddad from Lausanne University.
Anja Schmidt, University of Leeds.
Gerda, perhaps you could tell me something about the motivation behind the conference and why you've all got together.
The idea to organise this conference came actually between Andrew Kerr and myself to bring together a diverse group of people from across disciplines that are working on mass extinctions. So including anywhere from paleontologists to geophysics to astronomy, to discuss the diverse data and try to integrate it to come up with some solutions, hopefully, in the future.
It's been quite some time since a meeting, sort of a multidisciplinary meeting like this was organised on mass extinctions. Gerda, you probably were at the last ones that were organised.
2000?
10 years ago, I thought it was for longer than that. But I think there's a general consensus that, you know, we should have these meetings more often, you know, to bring together scientists working in a wide range of disciplines to discuss what is a very fundamental topic in wider earth sciences.
And when members of the public who are listening who aren't geologists themselves think about mass extinctions, they'll be thinking of the most famous one, the end of the Cretaceous, but there are actually several others that you've been talking about.
Yes, there are actually five big ones. The end of the dinosaur mass extinction is actually only the last one of these. And the other ones are at the earlier, 150 million years ago, 250 million years ago, 400 million years ago.
Yes.
And are you all coming from different expertise in terms of time period or your specialties?
Well, I'm coming at the whole perspective from issue of large igneous provinces, mostly oceanic large igneous provinces, but also continental large igneous provinces, and I've always been struck by the tremendous correlation between large igneous provinces and these mass extinction events, and there has to be something in there that is a causal effect, I think.
So large igneous provinces, you're talking about a sort of volcanism event, but not in the sense that we would experience
not today. No, they're several orders of magnitude greater in terms of their intensity and the volume that has erupted over the time period that you're talking about as well.
So this is nothing we've ever experienced in our...
No, there are analogues, like the Laki eruption in 1783 in Iceland, which erupted a vast amount of lava. You know, 15 cubic kilometres doesn't sound very much, but if you actually think about what that, the volume of that, it's actually quite substantial. But that's the closest historic analogue that we have to these flood basalt eruptions.
Thierry, what about you?
I'm a geologist, and I'm really interested, especially for the Cretaceous tertiary boundary events. And what we try to do is to evaluate more or less the influence of volcanism, like Deccan traps, for example. That's why we're working quite a lot in India, and impact. And we have worked since many, many years in several places in the world in order really to look to the benchmarks of impact and volcanism and what are the influence of volcanism versus impact on the biosphere.
I'm not a paleontologist, I'm not a volcanologist, but I'm an atmospheric scientist. I'm trying to link between all these guys and try to do some modeling of the atmospheric processes and climate impacts these events could have, whether it's a bolide impact or whether it's volcanism. Basically, come up with a scenario that is as realistic as it gets, you know, considering that we are talking about stuff that happened 65 million years ago. So, but I want to come up with volumes, that is how much volcanoes emitted and in terms of gases into the atmosphere that a community can agree on. And then I try to look at what I call an extreme, because scientists always tend to test the extreme so we can understand this. And then I feed my model with this, and then I go back with my model output and show it to paleontologists, to volcanologists, and then we can discuss whether what we set up is realistic or not. And obviously there are limitations. After all, this is a model. Mm-hmm. And often it is based on our understanding of present-day volcanism. It's much more complex, and we haven't seen this large-scale volcanism in our lifetime, so we need to consider all this. But I still think that modeling is one way forward to test our hypothesis, test it against what we call the proxy record. So this is the record of temperature changes and things like this, and we could test whether we have a trigger that could then subsequently cause feedbacks, as we've just said.
So it's about finding the trigger rather than all these other sort of subsequent events.
That would be the perfect world, but you know, it's probably we are probably far away from doing this, but we're doing our best to try to understand that much better.
From having sat through some of the meeting, it seems to be a lot of topics are quite contentious still. There's a lot of, I don't want to say argument, but a lot of debate going on.
Yes, I think there will always be arguments. Human beings are what they are, and scientists are no different. There will always be argumentation as to what is the real cause. It's also very difficult to find. But what is really interesting in this at this meeting is that I think we have reached certain conclusions, or shall we say, broad agreements. Mm-hmm. For instance, with volcanism, that seems to be that we cannot ignore how important volcanism is as a cause for mass extinctions, in perhaps at least in 4 of the 5 mass extinctions. And so while before it used to be just one large meteorite impact was the cause, we have at this meeting, for instance, I think there would be nobody arguing that that is the case. Everybody would argue, yes, impacts occur, and maybe it is really multiple impacts. We should look into that, and it's probably like comet showers. But as far as volcanism is concerned, we have to include that in a scenario as a very important effect. And in the end, we have to come up with a complex, multi-causal scenario.
And that's something that I'm seeing nodding going on. That's something that everyone would agree with, that it's not as simple as coming up with a single cause.
No, no, it's certainly not as simple as a lot of the media would present to the general public. You know, it was the Chicxulub impact, and that was the cause of the KPG extinction event. It's really gone beyond that. The issue's a lot more complex. With volcanism and, as Goethe says, multiple impacts. I think most people would recognise now that there are multiple impacts at the KTE boundary.
And are there any other causes showing up in the record that, apart from impacts and volcanism, are there any other culprits that you've come up with?
People talk about things like sea level rise, but to my mind, sea level rise is a secondary thing. What causes the sea level rise? What causes the glaciations? People also talk about for mass extinctions. It boils back down to either volcanism or an impact. Really,
you might also add the climate change. Climate change as cause of extinctions, but again, it's the same thing. What causes? What is the cause of it?
This is a cascade chain, if you want. If you have huge volcanism, you will change the climate. You will change. You can even increase the level by hyperthermal effect. You can do what you want, but you need a special cause at the beginning. We have mainly two triggers. It's a volcanism and impact, but all the rest is just a subsequent events.
I strongly agree with you that this has to be a multidisciplinary approach, because I can dig out of my model whatever I want, but it has to be meaningful so it can be compared to what you can do, and understanding that there are limitations on my side, limitations on this side. So this is really where we need to try to speak one language. Mm. And this is why these meetings are fantastic, because you are exposed over 3 days to, you speak to paleontologists, and it's a challenge, it's a big challenge, I think, to...
The modeling part always has to be really good, has to be compared with the observational part. And if you don't have that, it's fantasy to a large extent.
We are feeding the model.
We need some
data for that. For
absolutely.
Sure.
And if you don't have the right data, the wrong things comes out at the other end. This is a very bad saying, garbage in, garbage out.
And I suppose my final question really is, we hear a lot in the media, I don't know how much you sort of pay attention to how your subject gets reported in the media, it's a bit of a contentious one, but we hear a lot about current events and, are we leading in species extinction and the numbers in decline? Is this actually a realistic comparison, and the kind of events that you're talking about this week are so dramatic and had such an impact on the planet? Is that even feasibly similar to what's going on now?
Absolutely. I think we are in the middle of a mass extinction right now, one of which will probably be one of the biggest or equal to the Katie, mass extinction. We may be the dinosaurs that go extinct.
And this is as fast as an impact, or as fast as a volcanic eruption, maybe faster. Yeah. And this is the main problem, because if we go up with increasing, with this warming that we have now, well, let's say that in 200 years, we have probably the sixth big mass extinction on his way, you know. And I think that's why it's very important that all these people are discussing together, because I think there is something urgent here to resolve. And we are giving more or less some clues for that, for sure.
I mean, a lot of the timescales that we're talking about in there, you know, even with the best dating methods are, you know, maximum, you know, 10,000 years, 100,000 years, you know, small in comparison to the length of time, you know, that humans have been on Earth. So it's, I think Gert is right. I think if we're not careful, we'll end up with another extinction.
So the impact or the volcanism or the trigger event of the past is our injection of carbon into the atmosphere is comparable in terms of its effects.
Absolutely.
But the speed is really different.
Actually,
we are really
going even faster.
Very, very fast.
So in terms of this meeting, are there any particular outcomes that have changed the way you're looking at mass extinctions?
My guess is that everyone will come away looking at it a little more different than before, largely because we've had so many different experts from so many different fields. And that was the whole point of this, that we learn more so that we are not just looking at our own small field, but broaden our horizon and start to learn and integrate it. And I think you could probably ask anyone in this field, from what I've heard, they learned a lot and they're viewing it differently at this point.
I think it's already a success if you can just put together all these people coming from different horizons in order to get some kind of multidisciplinary approach, which is for me the only way you have really to integrate every part of the science, you know, biology, geology, astronomy, everything, to resolve these kind of problems. Mm. So this is a difficult task, but with all these people, maybe we can succeed.
Yes, and they didn't kill. Nobody got killed.
No. Not yet.
There were some arguments, but no physical violence. That's a good outcome to any conference.
Maybe after.
And then a big discussion to come.
Yeah, it's not over yet.